Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, as we continue our journey through the book of Romans, today's teaching is simply entitled, Nothing Will. Prepare your hearts to hear an encouraging and powerful message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
Teaching this series, Romans chapter 8, and you're about to really get something from the Lord this morning. I'm really believing that the Lord speak to your hearts, and I pray you just be open to it. Admit that we need God, and we need Jesus to teach us and show us his ways. Humble ourselves before him this morning as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 39. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, or things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, I believe these verses right here are the most powerful verses in the Bible. It really shows God's heart. Now, I love all of God's word, amen? But these verses right here show a facet of God's heart that has been kept secret. And I believe it's not revealed in all of the Bible. I believe what Paul, in the revelation that he has to give us about God's heart, man, is so powerful that we need to grab these truths, all right? And in verse 28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All right? So the Bible says, right here, Paul is stating that all things work together for the good. Now, all things are not for your good. This is so important that we grab these small little, you know, people have quote the Bible. All right? And they have quote scriptures. All things work together. That means no matter what situation you in, the Lord can turn it around. All right? No matter how deep you go, he can bring you out. All right? Because a lot of stuff is sent to destroy you. It's sent to destroy you. It's not for your good. All right? And the scripture says right here, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This is so powerful that we grab these concepts. It says, for those who love God, what does it mean to love the Lord? All right? What does it mean to love the Lord? These are questions that we must ask So we can know that all things are worked together for our good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, not our purpose. All right? So how do we love the Lord? Jesus said in John 14, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. When God loved the world on the cross, this act of God made a way for everyone to access God through Jesus Christ. This love, the love that God showed us on the cross, he showed it first. He didn't wait on us. He initiated this. All of this comes from God. All right? He started this relationship with you. You didn't start it with him. He started this. All right? So God started this relationship. God made it plain that he wants a relationship with mankind, so he did something very extravagant to show the world how serious he was or he is about us and how important we are to him. And God did this when he sent Jesus on the cross. This love was before anybody could say they were sorry or repent. All right? So this started from God. And Jesus said in verse 21, he said, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Now, what does this mean? I thought God just loved everybody. It's so powerful that you grab these concepts. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world, that's past tense. But Jesus is stating right here, I will love him. This is present. All right. So what's the difference between God loving you on the cross and God loving you now? All right. He said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest. The definition of manifest is readily perceived by the eye or understanding, evident, obvious, apparent, plain. He said, I will make myself plain, myself to him, not to everybody. Now, this is so powerful that we grab. God is not making himself plain to everybody. He has a love that he loved the whole world with, but he also want to continue to love you today. God wants to manifest himself to you today. God wants to reveal himself, make himself known to you. He wants to make himself plain to you where you clearly understand and perceive who he is. All right? And he says right here, he said, he who has my commandments and keep them. Now, this word commandments can be translated sayings, teachings, words. Because a lot of times when we hear commandments, we hear 10 commandments. Automatically, our brains go to 10 commandments. But Jesus has specific commandments to the church. He has commandments that he has to his church. Amen. So what's his commandments? Go to John 15. Verse 9 through 12. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy may remain and that your joy may be full. This is his command. This is my commandment. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. He said, this is my commandment. And he said also in verse 21, those who keep my commandments. So he's making this personal. He's coming straight from me now to his church. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Jesus said, I give you, he said, this is my commandment. And also in John 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in John 15, verse 12, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And a lot of times when we read, we just see what Jesus says, love one another. But he says, as I have loved you, is the focus of what we should be focusing on. Because sometimes we can hear a commandment and we just go try to do it, but we have to first get how he loved us first. We first have to get a clear picture on how God loves us personally so we can see how to love one another. All right? Because we all have our different views on what love is. But he said, as I have loved you. All right? And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, he said, this is his commandment. Now, this is John talking from Jesus' lips. He said, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son and love one another. Now, I know we're not talking about love this morning, but I'm showing you a example or a diagram that I learned by obeying the new commandment. And this is his commandment, that you should love one another. I mean, that you should believe on the name. Now, that word name in the Greek means character and authority. So this is his commandment. And John got to get in, he got it kind of in the right order. Jesus just told us what to do. Then on the end, he said, as I have loved you. But John put it in the right order. He said, believe on the name. This is his commandment, to believe on his name. And that word name in the Greek means character and authority. So what's God's character? God's character is love. What's his authority? He whooped the devil on the cross. What can we see God's name on the cross? We seen where he forgive us and take away our sins. And he also whooped death when he rose from the dead. All right? And this is the right process, because now we first have to believe what he's done for us, then love one another as he gave us commandment. So now this process that Jesus started in the church is not a commandment to do anything necessarily first. It's a commandment to believe first. It's a commandment to believe first. And you think about it. When we all get saved, we have the first thing we do is obey Jesus. What's Jesus' first commandment to everybody who gets saved? Repent. How do you repent? It's something that happens inwardly. You make a conscious decision to turn to Jesus and forsake your sins. That's repenting, to change how you think. Or to think differently about how once you thought. Praise God. And it says right here to love one another as I have loved you. And as I kept obeying the new commandment, when I would run into situations at work where I didn't want to love, I wanted to punch dude in the mouth. All right? I ain't want to love. All I felt like doing is punching him in the mouth. And I just want to be honest with y'all, because this is real life we're dealing with. I don't want to give you no fictitious stuff that's not, you can't go out here in the streets and live, right? All right? And go out to your jobs and live. So I was struggling with dude at work. But Jesus told me to love him. I couldn't love him. I ain't want to love him. All right? Just being plain. Make it plain. I didn't want to love him. But he gave me a commandment to love one another. All right? As I have loved you. Not what I think. He wanted me to love him the verses how he loved me. All right? So that's what I should be given. And as I did what he said, as I trusted him to teach me how to love people, it set me free. It started setting me free. And I started seeing from his perspective by obeying him. But first, it had to believe. I had to be honest and say, look, Lord, I don't want to love dude. I don't want to love him. But would you teach me? Would you show me how, Lord God? And I'm going to be real with you. I really don't want to. And unless you teach me, I'm just going to be honest, Lord, I ain't going to do it. Because how can you expect to do something that you ain't been taught to do? This is so powerful. How do I know that I need to be taught? I'm struggling. I'm struggling, man. It's hard. Amen. And it's conflicting what he's commanded me to do. All right? So this process of Jesus teaching me how to love people also, he taught me how to use this process in every other area, not just love. Believing on his name to overcome my financial problems. Believing on his name to overcome emotional issues at home with my wife. Believing on his name to overcome people at church. How many of y'all know we need to be, amen? The Bible, that's why he gave us a new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. He said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. And so how many of y'all know you need to know Jesus need to teach you how to love people at church? This is so true. And if we'll be real and be honest, that we don't know. We don't know, because all I want to do is run from them. All I want to do is stay away from them. That's evidence you don't know, right? Because Jesus didn't do you like that. Amen. So not just to love, but also in other areas. So that process of believing on his name to love one another, if you're struggling in any area, you need to believe on his name. Believe on his character and authority. You need to run to Jesus. Said, come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What's the commandment? Come to him. So that process never stopped your whole Christian walk. You'll always be running to Jesus to teach you. Show me, Lord God. I need you, Lord Jesus. I'll do what you say, Lord God. I can't make it without you. And you run into Jesus, that process of running to Jesus when struggles come, when the extra bill come you weren't expecting, when somebody hit you, tear up your car, and you ain't got insurance. You need Jesus, amen? Yes. They ain't got insurance, you ain't got insurance. I mean, you just got liability. We need Jesus. Amen. And we need to run to him. And this is why I bring up the new commandment, because it has a process in it that trained me to not just run when I need to know how to love my spouse or know how to love people at work, but when circumstances arises, that's here to take you out. That's here to knock your faith out in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's now let's go back to Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. Amen. Because it says those who love God and called according to his purpose. So how do we love God? We believe on the name. This is his commandment. This is the first commandment that we all started obeying. We repented and started believing. All right. And then we do. Your belief, actually, what you do is what you believe. This is so true. Your actions shows what you believe. This is so powerful. So now you judge your actions and you say, what in the world have I been believing? The Bible says, out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. The Bible says, out the heart, evil things flow and good things from the heart. That's what Jesus says. Amen. So we know all things work together for the good of those who love God. How do you love God? You start believing and trusting him for your life. You start obeying him and looking to Jesus to show you how to come out. Amen. And those who are called according to his purpose. If you under the sound of my voice, you have been called. All right. Next verse, 29. For who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He might be the firstborn of many brothers. That's us. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, that's you and me. If you understand my voice, you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Because you're hearing these words coming out of my mouth. And God is using me to tell you what the Bible says about you. Amen. And this is the truth. God has, as we keep reading, God has selected you. For then shall we, for what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? You know, I use this verse to help those surprises come up, to help my faith. Those surprises that come up in your life. The Bible says right here, God did not spare his own son for you, but he gave him up for us all. That means while you was yet a sinner, at your lowest condition, at your worst state as a sinner, God gave Jesus for you. So if he gave Jesus for you at your worst condition, at your worst condition, he gave you the best. Okay. What's a bill? What's anything, really? But as you start analyzing and looking to the scriptures and seeing how God loved you while you was yet a sinner, this should bring faith to you today while you're seeking him. Why? Because the struggles and the circumstances and the persecutions that you're facing today, it shouldn't separate you from God's love if you understand how he loved you. Because you'll know no one else on earth has ever loved you. Has somebody ever died for you? Has somebody ever took a bullet for you? All right, done your time, paid your fine. Done your time. When we talking about doing time. You're guilty as sin, and your sentence is death, and Jesus came and done your time for you. No one ever loved you like this before in your whole life. So what's your problems today? All right? What's the car not running? I mean, compare it to what God already done. And he said, he already given us Jesus. How shall he not with him, praise God, freely give us all things? All right? And what happens sometimes, we don't get the gospel explained to us right at the beginning. I truly believe this. A lot of times, especially here in America, we teach the gospel in a way that caters to your selfish desires, our selfish desires. That means God want to bless you, and he do want to bless you. Listen, do not misunderstand these statements I'm about to say. God want to bless you with a lot of money. And I believe God do want to bless us with money. Amen. But you could preach the gospel in such a way, people greed and say, shoot, I want some of that. Mm-hmm. Or God wants you to have a better life. He going to make you happy. He going to make you full of joy. And do God do these things? Yes, he does. But that's not the primary reason why we get saved. That's not the number one selling point that we should be telling people, because now you're going to be feeding off people's emotions and desires that might not line up with God's. And I can almost guarantee it ain't going to line up with God, especially when you ain't saved. All right, we thinking about the blessings of the Lord. The Lord can bless us to pay our tithes, and we can pay more tithes, bring more. Because the Bible says it is blessed. It's more blessed to give than receive. Why is that, though? Because you got it to give, right? And that's from my perspective. But when you're telling somebody that's been running the streets or somebody that's been in business and all they got is a cutthroat attitude about making money, God want to bless you with money, they thinking about all kind of business deals and all kind of stuff. This is so powerful that we grab this understanding. Because and the reason, why am I teaching this? Because when circumstances arises, they don't do what Paul was doing when he said nothing can separate. Shall persecution, shall tribulation? I'm getting you there. I'm building this point to get you so we can shout on the verses. All right? But it has to build. I have to build a point. And tear through some things that's not conducive. And any little thing knock people out. Why is that? Why is that? Any little thing. Oh, my leg ache. I'm not going to church today. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I guess I ain't going to get up and pray today. I got a headache. Why is that? These are very important questions that you should ask yourself. Why do you get easily knocked out, if you do? Now, I'm not being mean. I'm not here to spank you this morning, and I'm not, you know, your daddy. But I must be honest. I must be very honest with you. Amen? And this is so powerful. It's so powerful. And why is it that we get knocked out? And I can tell you why. To illustrate this, I'm going to give you a short little skit this morning. A one-man act, all right? Y'all ready? One-man act. All right. Say, for instance, two men got on the plane. And two men was given parachutes. And on this plane, the stewardess gave a parachute to one man. And she said, put this parachute on. And this is a parachute, for instance. Put this parachute on because I promise you will have more peace and love and joy and happiness about life. Because it'll make your ride feel better. Put this parachute on because on the plane, it'll make your ride feel better. So the man said, how in the world? And we analyzed it. Look, how in the world wearing a parachute on a plane gonna make your ride feel better? And how is it gonna make me happy? How is it gonna make me full of joy? So the man just, okay, I put it on. So immediately he feel the weight of the parachute. And this wasn't discussed by the attendant, the flight attendant. So the man sit down and he noticed the weight and it was uncomfortable to wear a parachute on the plane. All right? So he sits down and the man noticed immediately how uncomfortable it was to wear a parachute sitting down. And so he's wearing a parachute sitting down, and there's other people on the plane also. They begin to laugh at him and taunt him. Why in the world are you wearing a parachute on the plane? It makes no sense. And so now he's suffering ridicule for people that's watching him wear this parachute on a plane. So after a short while, can we say a short while? The man gets frustrated, right? Why? Because the attendant told me I would have a better life. The ride would be a little bit more smoother. And it's been everything but smooth and comfortable. So the man easily gets frustrated, throw down the parachute on the plane, and says, I never put that parachute back on. Because the parachute, the lady explained to him that she would have a better life. And then it was a second man that put on the parachute. And the attendant explained to him, put this parachute on, because at any time, we're going to be jumping out this bad baby. At any time, 20,000 feet, you're going to need this because the plane is going down. All right? So the man says, shoot, give me this thing, girl. Should have been gave it to me. So now the man grabbed the parachute and makes sure he holds on to it tight. Why? Because any time, the plane is going down. So his mind is consumed with holding on to what's going to save him. He is consumed. So he don't notice how comfortable, uncomfortable it is, even the weight. It's a very small problem compared to his big problem. Amen. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And a lot of times we don't talk about this light burden that Jesus requires to carry. This is so powerful that you grab these concepts. All right? So the man has explained that the plane is going down. So it don't matter how comfortable his ride is. I got to hold on to my parachute. Why? Because one day this bad baby going down. And no matter who laughs at him, no matter how uncomfortable it gets, he holds on to that parachute. Why? It's going to save his life. Because the plane going down, right? And this world is coming to an end. And you better have the real reason why you saved. You better be holding on to his love for you. All right? So what if the man sitting there holding on to that airplane, a flight attendant come down, spill hot coffee on him? Spill hot coffee. He like, ooh, that's hot. But shoom. I got to have my, I don't care what I done got burnt. This bad baby going down, and you ain't finna catch me just falling. Why? Because of his understanding. Because of going into, he was clearly explained the true reason for the gospel or for the parachute. And the Bible tells us to put on Christ. All right? Put on Christ. Do Jesus make you happy? Yes. Do he love you? Do he want you to have money? Yes. But please don't let that be the primary reason why you getting saved. That's not the primary reason that we come to Jesus. And I've seen people come to Jesus for many arterial motives. They go into court. Listen, man. I done ran to so many people. Man, I need to get God in my life. It's a court date coming up. And that's just one example, though, on why people come to Christ. And so the whole motive is to come to Christ is God to give some type of miracle so he won't do this time, right? But what if it don't happen? What if God don't come through? And I've seen God come through and they still leave because their motive ain't pure. It's just like when we was in the streets. And long as I got what I wanted out of you, we good. After I got that, I'll holler at you. All right? And a lot of people come to God for many selfish reasons. Put me back up, baby. Is that it? And a lot of people come to God for many selfish reasons. And this is just an example on what happens in the hearts of many people. And when tests come and when trial come, easily just, oh no, this ain't what I was signing up for. And I know immediately after I got saved, persecution happened. Ridicule happened. Immediately. It was a weight put on me that I wasn't expecting. And I didn't get saved in the church, but I got saved, in a house, and the Lord led, orchestrated things, and I got saved in the house. And so it wasn't that somebody there coaching me. The Lord led me to get saved, and I responded to his love. Amen. But immediately after I got saved, I experienced things. And, friends abandon you, betrayal, just all kind of stuff. And if you're expecting this life to be without that, then you're going to get it's a misunderstanding. You're going to get disappointed. Amen? Sadly disappointed. All right? Because these things are promised to us. These things must happen. Jesus said, if they didn't like me, they're not going to like you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And you can be the best person in the world. You can be the nicest, just happy-go-lucky person in the world. They still going to hate your guts. If they hated the master, he ain't never did nothing wrong. You know they going to hate you. All right? And this is so powerful. Let's read those verses. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God has selected you to be a call to his son. It is God who justifies, not man. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? And this is so powerful. Thank you, Lord. It's so powerful. If you equate your 401k as God loving you, all the devil have to do is attack that. Now your love for God is gone. This is, thank you, Lord. If you equate somebody being there for you, a spouse being there for you, loving you, and they not there, then your love for God is gone. If it's tied to your job, all the enemy have to do is lay you off. And now your love for God is laid off. This is so powerful that we grab these concepts and not tie. Now, we do believe in the blessings of the Lord. And I do believe in bodily healing. I do believe in all that stuff. Amen. But if you tie God's love and separate it for what he did for you on the cross and make it things that's benefiting you in your life, all the enemy have to do is attack that thing. And you could be a backslidden whatever. I knocked many doors, every door on this street many times. And I talked to many people. It's a lot of people sitting at home mad at God. Just mad at God because they expected God. And then you talk to any atheist. At one point in time, they believed in God. But God didn't do something that they wanted. He didn't answer their prayer. He didn't heal their grandmama or something that they think they have against God. Now they mad at him for that. I talked to many people, seen many mindsets and many reasons why people sitting at home mad at God because somebody in the church did something. If you tie anything else other than Jesus and what he did for you on the cross to God's love in your life, the enemy can attack that area and shake your faith. You are a privilege to hear what I'm stating this morning. I'm telling you, you're so privileged to hear these things. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I just be straight. Amen. He says, what verse we at? 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Through what? Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. This is so powerful. This is Paul stating he is persuaded. How do you get persuaded? This is so powerful. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. This is Paul, though. You need to be persuaded. How can you be persuaded? How can you be just as confident as saying, man, I don't care about death. I don't care about life. I don't care about the angels. It don't matter. I don't care about principalities. It don't matter, no powers, no thing present, no things to come. And he says, as it is written, or he said, I am persuaded neither death nor life shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So the persecutions that you face do not matter. Because it's coming and we must be prepared, saints. What if all electricity went out in your house right now? What if it was no more job to go to? What if no more money to spend? Amen. This is so we must be prepared for these end times. I'm not trying to paint a bad picture, but I'm getting you to the point where we should say, it don't matter. God loves me. No matter if I have 401k. No matter if I have retirement, no matter if my kids done gone astray, God is still in love with me, and I'm going to keep joy in the Lord, and it don't matter if I have a job. It don't matter if them bills, they keep coming and piling up. It don't matter if my kids don't like me or don't love me, and my mama never gave me a hug, my daddy never gave me a hug. It don't matter. God is in love with me. It don't matter. It don't matter. Why? Jesus is in love with me. Now, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Nothing. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my car. I love my house. I love everything. I love everything the Lord has blessed me with. But it pales in compared to He loved me. He loved me. I mean, I enjoyed them steaks. I enjoyed them greens. But what if I ain't got it? What if it stopped coming? What if we can't go to the grocery store and buy food no more? Jesus still loves me. He still loves me. And this is what it means to never let your faith be separated. In closing, never let your faith and what you're going through and the circumstances that you're facing separate you from how much He loves you. Amen. So it don't matter. And how can you be persuaded? How can you get this convinced? Because He said, I am persuaded. And then Paul also stated, my God shall supply all my needs according to... Now, that's his faith. What causes you to say that? According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How can we get this convinced as Paul was? These are the questions that we must ask ourselves and also ask God. And it goes back to believing and seeking Him in these times. And this is what the new commandment did for me. It caused me to run to Jesus when things happen. When my flesh was going crazy, run to Jesus. When they don't treat you right at work, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And let Him love you. Amen. And don't care if they ever love you or ever give you any credit. The master of the universe and you before the foundation of the world. He has selected you. He has foreordained you to be called and hear the things that I'm telling you. He has called you because there's many that has eyes and don't see. It's many, and you know what I'm talking about. It's many that have ears and they still don't know what you're talking about. But you are able to understand what I'm saying. This is good news. Because, you know why? You could easily be that one that don't hear. That have ears and still don't hear the voice of the good shepherd. And still don't hear these things that I'm telling you. Because there's people out there and you know them. They in your family. They're on your job. They got ears and they still ain't hearing what Jesus is saying. They don't know what we talking about. They can't perceive with their eyes. And they got eyeballs just like you. Amen. This is what should be your joy. This is what should be your happiness. Is He love you. Amen.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.